a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Ostra.
Here.
Fargin. Greenfield. Holly.
Here.
Hubble.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Nordstrup.
Here.
Willitson.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
And Solem.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum with a majority of the members present. I'm sure you've all had the opportunity to read through the minutes from our last meeting, and I would certainly entertain a motion. The motion by Representative Dielstra, seconded by Representative Consett for approval of the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The minutes are approved. I'd like to have our pages come up and introduce themselves. Please come up to the microphone. Tell us who you are and where you're from.
I'm Shanna Geist, and I'm from Groton.
I'm Caitlin Getty, and I'm from Pierre.
Oh, welcome, and thank you for your help. We do appreciate it. I'd like to also remind any of those here present who are going to testify on any of the legislation we're going to hear this morning, make sure you sign in and fill in the sheet as appropriate. And I'd also like to remind everyone here that all the questions, whether from the committee or from those testifying, will come through the chair. Any comments? With that, let's go to work. I'd now like to open up the hearing on House Bill 1031, which is an act to increase the national registry fee for real estate appraisers. This piece of legislation has been brought to us at the request of the Department of Revenue and Regulation. I'd like to ask the committee members to hold all your questions until such appropriate time. I'll now hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1030. Proponent testimony.
1031.
I'm sorry, 1031.
Honorable Chair, I brought handouts for the committee. It does include 31, 32, and 33, but as I go through those, if it's okay, then I'll...
That's fine. Have our pages make distribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Committee. My name is Sherry Brenn. I'm the Director of the Appraiser Certification Program. Here today to testify on House Bill 1031. This is a pretty straightforward bill. With the enactment of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act last July, the Appraisal Subcommittee, which is the Appraiser Certification Program Oversight Agency, was granted the authority to charge $40 for the National Registry fee. That is a fee that all licensed and certified appraisers pay to the Appraisal Subcommittee. It's a pass-through fee through the Department of Revenue. And Dodd-Frank also gave the subcommittee the authority to raise that fee to $80 if they saw that it was necessary. In our current statute, we have a ceiling of $75 for the National Registry fee. So I thought that we would raise that to $80 just in case the subcommittee does raise theirs to $80. Then we would be able to do that through administrative rule. Currently, we'll change the administrative rule to request $40 from each of our licensees, but then we'll have the authority through statute to increase it. And that is all of the amendments for our 3621B4 statute at this time. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents for House Bill 1031? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1031? Seeing none, at this time I'll open it up for committee questions. Representative Willetson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think from Ms. Brenn, from your testimony, it just begs the question. You know, we're increasing the fee, you know, that's here by $5. But you said that in case, you know, the National Association increases their fee or something, is that why we're looking at doing this? Or, I'm not clear on the reason that we would increase it. So if you would, please.
Chair.
Please.
Okay. Yes, Representative Willetson. We charge a national registry fee by mandate from Title 11, from the Appraisal Subcommittee of the Federal Financial Institutions Examination Council. The Dodd-Frank Act gave that agency, the Appraisal Subcommittee, the authority to increase the fee to $80. And so our maximum was 75. In order to comply with that, we're raising it to 80. Now, the subcommittee is going to increase the fees 1-1 of 12 to $40. They were given that authority in the Dodd-Frank Act. But the Dodd-Frank also gave them the authority that if they justified increasing that fee, they could do so to $80. So we would like to have that in statutory authority. We're not going to charge the $80, but we'll comply with whatever the appraisal subcommittee raises it to. But it gives us that ability through administrative rule to raise that fee. And this is a mandatory fee. We have to pay this. It's a pass-through through our department for every licensed and certified appraiser in our state. And there's a national registry that they are listed on. And so it's a mandatory fee that we have to pass through to the subcommittee for our licensees in accordance with Title 11.
Thank you. Follow up? Representative Kirschman. I'm sorry. Representative Miller.
Mr. Chair, what determines whether or not you raise the fee, you know, what you charge? What, like, why would you charge 80 instead of 40?
The only way that we would charge 80 would be if the appraisal subcommittee of the Federal Financial Institutions Examination Council raised their fee to $80. And they do have the authority to do that on the federal level. We want to just be nimble enough so that if they do raise that to the $80, then we would be able to raise our fee through administrative rule. This is just a ceiling on what we can charge through administrative rule.
Chairman.
Representative Jentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify, ma'am, you're saying that currently it's $40, but that this is not a $5 increase. This just allows you to have a ceiling. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Representative Jensen, I'm not sure that I understand your question. It is a $5 increase to raise it to $80 as the ceiling for the national registry fee. The appraisal subcommittee will raise the fee to $40 effective 1/1/12, but they have the authority to go to 80 if they need to support their administration and operations of their program. So the purpose of it is just to increase the ceiling so that we would be able to comply if they request us to submit $80 per appraiser.
Follow
we would
up,
be able
Mr.
to
Chairman.
Charge that.
Representative Jentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, again, to clarify, this isn't automatic. This isn't automatically going to be a $5 increase.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
No, it will not be an automatic $5 increase.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Hubble.
Just for verification here, it says the Frank Dodd authorizes a committee to collect an annual registry fee of $40. Is that the money that transfers from your account to the federal government then? And then I assume now, if that's correct, you are charging $75 at currently?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please.
Representative Hubble, currently we charge every licensed or certified appraiser $25 for the national registry fee. That fee will go up in accordance with the Dodd-Frank and the Appraisal Subcommittee's authority to $40 in January of 2012. The maximum in the Dodd-Frank bill is $80, and they have the authority to go to that. But we will only increase our fee to $40 from the current $25.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perhaps we need just a bit of clarification. I would call on Mr. Decker, a learned LRC staff member, to maybe clarify exactly what we're talking about here.
This bill, I think, gives you an opportunity to look at something that you will see recurring throughout the session. There are many legislative bills that you will see where an agency will come in with rulemaking authority. Rulemaking authority is a delegation of legislative authority from the legislature to an agency to do something. So what you want to look for are two things. One, you want a clear statement of intent that the legislature intends this agency to do something. You want the bill to identify the procedure to be followed, and you want guidelines within the bill to direct the agency to act within certain limits. So what you see with this bill is you have a clear statement of legislative intent from the legislature to the Department of Revenue and Regulation to promulgate a rule. A rule has the same effect and standing as a statute, but it is an operation of an administrative agency to exercise what they call quasi-legislative authority. It has the same effect as a statute. But you're delegating to this agency the authority to announce a rule, promulgate a rule, pursuant to Chapter 126. 126 is the Administrative Procedures Act, which outlines the steps that an agency must follow in order to promulgate a rule. It provides notice, opportunity for hearing and comment and things of that nature for the people that are affected by this particular rule. Then you want to see guidelines within a statute which sets the framework in which the agency can promulgate its rule. So on this particular section, you see that they may promulgate rules regarding application fees, renewal fees, examination fees, and other fees, but it also includes the language not to exceed. So it sets the parameters for this agency to act within those limits. That doesn't mandate that they will act, but it gives them the permission to act within that area. So in this particular instance, they are granted authority to establish a registration fee that may not exceed $80. Currently, the fee is $25. They're asking for the flexibility to increase it to $80 if the feds also mandate that the fee be $80. So this bill here does not raise any fee, but it allows the agency to act within that guideline. And you will see any number of bills that will come before you where an agency is permitted to promulgate a rule within a certain area. So you want to be very careful about these grants of rulemaking authority. You want to see that there's a clearly identified actor, that it's someone within state government that can take this action. You want them to follow 126, which is the Administrative Procedures Act, and you want to see guidelines or limits upon the exercise of that authority, because, you know, many times an agency will have more direct impact upon your constituents than the legislature will, because they are the ones issuing the licenses and affecting a person's daily life rather directly. So you need to be careful when you review bills that grant rulemaking authority.
Thank you very much. That certainly helps. Are there any other questions of the committee? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing portion of House Bill 1031 and open it up for committee discussion or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dielstra.
Do pass.
The motion of do pass on House Bill 1031 has been made by Representative Dielstra. And seconded by Representative Hawley. Any discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on House Bill 1031. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
No.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
No.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Condit.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
11-2.
Having received a majority of the vote from the members present, House Bill 1031 passes. Representative Dielstra, would you be so kind to carry House Bill 1031 to the floor?
Certainly.
Thank you. And would you please get him some notes for that? I would appreciate that. Representative Jones, would you take this bill to your caucus? Thank you very much. With that, that finishes House Bill 1031. We'll now open up the hearing on House Bill 1032. 1032 is an act to authorize the imposition of a permanent injunction upon any person engaged in an unlicensed real estate appraisal practice. And again, the committee hold all questions until we have our testimony complete. And now I would hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1032.
Representative Solem and members of the committee. This legislation would authorize the department to request an imposition for a permanent injunction. South Dakota is a mandatory appraiser licensing state. To perform an appraisal in the state of South Dakota, you must be registered, licensed, or certified. In the past year, the department knows of four cases of unlicensed practice in our state. I don't know how many there actually are. That's only four that we know of. Unfortunately, it's illegal to appraise in South Dakota, but our current statutes do not give us any authority beyond that. And it's very unfair for appraisers that are licensed or certified and go through all of the proper channels to become licensed and follow all of the rules to have someone come into our state and practice illegally. And so the intent of this legislation is to give us the authority to take further action upon unlicensed activity in our state. Any questions, please?
We'll hold all our questions. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1032? Any other proponents?
Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Craig Steinle. I'm a state-certified residential appraiser from Rapid City. And I'm currently the president of the Professional Appraisers Association of South Dakota. There are 380 licensees, appraiser licensees in the state. We claim as membership about 175 of those. And I dare say most of the very active ones are members of PASAD. We have a number of appraisers that have traveled across the state today. They're in the audience. I'd have them raise their hand just so their trip would be recognized at this point. And I've been asked to talk for them, so you won't have a string of folks up here. South Dakota does not have an onerous licensing law for folks who are licensed in other states. They can either obtain a license in our state, or they can file a very small fee for a temporary permit to come across the border and appraise just for that one assignment. I've forgotten what the fee is. I'm sure that Ms. Bren could tell you. But on behalf of the appraisers in the state of South Dakota, we urge you to pass on this specific piece of legislation. It's nice that it's illegal to do this, but the state has never had any authority to do anything about it, and this allows them to seek an injunction to cease and desist injunction against that appraiser. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1032? Any opponents? Seeing none, at this time I'll open it up for committee questions. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Ms. Bren. I'm just wondering, Ms. Bren, does the department have the authority in a situation if this bill passes into law and somebody is convicted of practicing as an appraiser without a license, would the department have the ability to levy a civil penalty?
We do have authority in our statutes to impose a penalty fee on licensees for a violation of our laws or our rules, but it is pretty specific that it's upon licensees. So I'm not sure. I'm sorry, Chair, I didn't recognize that. I'm not sure if we would have the authority over an unlicensed appraiser.
Follow-up? Any other questions? Representative Jones.
Mr. Chairman, this is addressed to you, ma'am. It's the adjustment that you want to make, or the amendment that you want to do, is in the bottom of 8, 9, and 10 there, lines. Any person who violates this section may be restrained or by permanent injunction in any court of competent jurisdiction at the suit of the Attorney General or any citizen of the state. Would you explain the last four or five words there, please?
Please.
Yes, sir. Representative Jones, this actually was crafted by the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Revenue and Regulation. He is an attorney, and he, I believe, took this out of the statutes regarding attorneys. He felt that this language would work very well. But I believe this is my interpretation of what those words mean, is that the department would, you know, of course, through the Attorney General, but any citizen of the state that realized that someone was operating illegally, unlicensed in our state, would also be able to contact the Attorney General's office or perhaps the state's attorney and lodge a suit against that appraiser if they found out that the appraiser had actually performed an appraisal for them and was not duly licensed. Now, I can't say that that's entirely correct. That's my interpretation of that.
Follow up. Ma'am, also, and I understand what the intent is. Is that what, as a layperson looking at this, is this what it's saying, though? I get the feel, I don't see where it says that they have to go through the Attorney General.
Representative Sullen.
Please.
Representative Jones, I'm sorry, but I can't really answer that question, but I would be happy to try and gather information, especially from the Deputy Secretary of the Department who crafted the language. He might better be suited to answer these questions for you, if that would be okay.
Okay. Representative Hubble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also have a question, too. I don't do legalese real well. I do like just regular English, and so I don't really understand permanent injunction in any court of competent jurisdiction. Could that even mean as far down as maybe you having your own, like, court situation, you know, in-house type of thing, all the way to, you know, the Supreme Courts? Are they all the same type? Are they all included when you say competent jurisdiction? And, again, a permanent injunction, what does that really mean? And court of competent jurisdiction, what does that mean?
Representative Please. Solem. I believe that any court of competent jurisdiction would be a circuit court or a Supreme Court. I can't really answer the legal questions on these. And permanent injunction, we view those as an order to cease and desist against someone who is practicing unlicensed activity in our state.
Follow up.
To cease and desist, would that mean a permanent? They could never be an appraiser again?
That would be my interpretation of that in our state.
Anyone else? Any other questions? With that, I'll close the public testimony portion on House Bill 1032 and open it up for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Condon.
Move to pass.
Second.
The motion do pass by has been made by Representative Condon, seconded by Representative Dielstra. Any comments?
Mr. Chair, thank you. It seems pretty straightforward to me that this is a request for cease and desist on doing something that's already in statute that is illegal within the state of South Dakota. We need to protect our appraisers, and so I move forward with this.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'm going to support this, but I find it curious that we have in statute the requirement that an appraiser be licensed, but then there isn't anything in statute about what happens if you don't. So I'm nervous about this situation in that we're going to deal with this again next year and the year after that and the year after that as the Appraisers Association comes back and say, well, we need to tweak this a little bit. We need to tweak this a little bit. So I'm looking forward to the discussion as it progresses. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Any other comment? Seeing none, the motion do pass on House Bill 1032. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Thank you.
Miller.
Aye.
Mr. Excuse. Willitson.
Aye.
Condon.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
We have 12 with one excuse.
Move House Sent.
House Bill 1032, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes. Representative Hawley moves consent.
Second.
Seconded by Representative Fargin. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
We have one dissenting vote. We will not put House Bill 1032 on the consent calendar. Moving on with business. We will now open the hearing on House Bill 1033, which is an act to provide for the registration and regulation of appraisal management companies. Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know last week you brought the big gavel. Based upon your lack of recognition of the phone that was ringing, I think maybe we need to get you a big hearing aid this week.
The big horn. Thank you. We'll make sure everyone on the committee has one. Okay, back to business. We'll open the hearing on House Bill 1033, which is an act to provide for the registration and regulation of appraisal management companies. We will now hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1033. Thank Good morning you, again.
Hello. The purpose of this legislation, I would like to give you a little bit of a history of what has brought us here today with this legislation. About a year ago, the two professional associations in South Dakota came to the Department of Revenue and Regulation to encourage us to move forward with legislation to register and supervise appraisal management companies. Many of our sister states had already enacted legislation or were in the process of doing so. We appointed a committee to review legislation from other states and come to our advisory council with a recommendation for legislation to draft to introduce today. We had to go through quite a few channels. We had to first get approval from our department secretary to even move forward. And once we did, we had to bring the legislation that we had drafted for approval again. During the spring of 2010, I attended an Association of Appraiser Regulatory Officials conference, and I found that there was an Association of Appraisal Management Companies, and that is titled Appraisal Vendor Management Association. So I realized that there was actually an association that their membership was comprised of appraisal management companies. When we started drafting our legislation, I invited one of their leaders. He is here today. His name is Tim O'Brien. He is with RELS, which is the appraisal management company for Wells Fargo, very large entity. And so when we were given approval to move forward with this legislation, we invited Tim O'Brien to work with us to draft legislation that would be appropriate for the state's registration and supervision and also agreeable to the industry that was going to be regulated. Right before our council meeting in July, the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act was signed into law by the president. And in the Dodd-Frank, what that did is made it mandatory for the appraiser certification and licensing programs in all of the jurisdictions to initiate legislation and enact it to register and supervise appraisal management companies. So it really took it from, you know, that we were following suit of our sister states due to the tremendous increase in the activity of appraisal management companies to mandatory. One of the concerns that the Department of Revenue had in discovering that appraisal management companies are operating in our state, but we don't know who they are, they are not registered, is the fact that they should be paying use tax on the services of the appraiser. And I'm not going to say that I know a lot about the tax laws in our state, but if an appraiser performs an appraisal in the state of South Dakota and the client is located in South Dakota, the appraiser pays the sales tax. If the client is located out of state, then the appraiser does not pay the sales tax. The end user is supposed to pay tax. And that was a concern for the Department of Revenue because we didn't know who they were. Therefore, we could not follow through and make sure that they were paying the appropriate taxes in our state. So that was one issue that was troublesome to the department. And the fact that with the mortgage crisis that the country has gone through in the last few years, to have anyone who is involved in the mortgage lending process to be unregulated is probably not wise and not in the best interest of our state. So that's a little bit of a background on the legislation. I have handed out to you, you do have House Bill 1033, and also when we started to move forward with this legislation, it had been already gone to the Legislative Research Council to be drafted into bill form. I was advised that there would be opposition to this legislation by RELs representing appraisal management companies, probably a large number of them. So I went to work to craft legislation and amendments that would be agreeable and acceptable to RELs and the other entities that they represent. So I have given to you an amendment which looks a bit like this.
Is this.
The amendment looks a lot worse than it is, I believe.
Is this Amendment 1033SA, SAM Alpha?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Honorable Chair. But what I've also given you in your packet that was handed out by the pages is I'm a pretty visual person, so I took the amendment and did an overlay into the House bill itself. That would be the last stapled item in the packet that was handed out to you. And so that way I'll be able to go over the amendments and you can visualize where they are and how they'll set in the bill itself, if that's okay.
I'll give you the latitude to talk about both the amendment and the original bill. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. I'll start with the original bill. it gives the Department of Revenue and Regulation the authority to register and supervise appraisal management companies. It also defines what an appraisal management company is that would fall under our jurisdiction. Section 1 of the bill also describes an exemption, which would be an appraisal management company that is owned by a financial institution that is regulated by a federal financial institution regulatory agency. So there will be some exemptions. RELs would be one of them. It would be more of the larger appraisal management companies. I would like to note that because we don't register appraisal management companies, I don't know how many are operating in our state. But in the state of Arkansas, they have 815 appraisers, and they have 100 appraisal management companies registered. I contacted Vermont, which is a smaller populated appraiser state than we are, at 300 appraisers. They have 60 appraisal management companies. So I predict that we'll have between maybe 40 and 60 for the state of South Dakota that will be required to register. The language is pretty straightforward. It defines what an appraisal management company is in Section 2 and what they do. Section 4 is our rule promulgation section. We did have some amendments that I'll go over with you in a moment in that particular Section 4. Section 5 is just to establish the application and renewal fees for the AMCs. Section 6 provides that the monies that we collect from the registration of appraisal management companies will go into an appraisal management fund and that the expenditures will be appropriated through the Appropriations Committee, through the regular channels that we go through to build our budget and get approval for those expenditures. Section 8, we do have given the authority that any appraisal management company that has been found to violate our statutes, our rules, that there is a penalty fee. If we go to a contested case hearing in a matter involving an appraisal management company, Section 9 gives us the authority to assess cost. That is a very big protection for any board, commission, or program such as mine to be able to assess the respondents, the fees that are incurred for contested case hearings. If the respondents fail to that's when they're hearing against us. So this is to help with, you know, cover the cost of our contested case hearings. That would be our perhaps legal fees, our court reporter, any hard costs that we might have. Section 10 is very important. This is the section that describes what an appraisal management company cannot do. And there's quite a laundry list of things there. We did have some amendments to that section that I'll go over with you in a bit. Section 11, I should go back. On Section 10, it pretty much mirrors our appraiser statutes that, you know, appraisers cannot be improperly influenced, coerced, or bribed. Kind of goes through that similar laundry list of things that are inappropriate. Under Section 11, similar to other statutes in the appraiser law, it also describes what an appraisal management company may do. They may ask for additional information. If they find errors in an appraisal, they can certainly ask the appraiser to look at those and correct them. And with that, I would like to go through the amendments, if that's appropriate for the chair.
Yes, you may proceed.
As I said, that we found out there would be some opposition to our legislation, and in a good faith effort, I wanted to work with the industry and come to agreement on what would work for both the state and the regulated industry. And if you would turn to page 2 of this, the last document in your packet, this is where I've done the overstrike and underscore to show you what the amendments will actually do. I'd like to walk through those with you. On page 2 under section 4, is everyone finding that?
Proceed.
The department agreed to remove subsection 3 under section 4, responsibilities, duties, and standard of practice. We agreed to that revision to the bill. We felt that this might be covered later on through the Dodd-Frank as it fetters out from the federal level. Did not feel that that was a serious lack of authority on our part, so we agreed to that. We also removed subsection 6, investigation and contracting for investigations. The department felt that under our complaints and grounds for complaints, rulemaking authority, that we would be able to have the authority to conduct investigations. And because it is, I think, implied that if you have a complaint, that there will be an investigation. And therefore, we were willing to pull that subsection out. Subsection 7, education criteria, very willing to pull that out. We had just thrown it in more or less in case we needed it down the road. I don't know that we'll ever require education of an appraisal management company. If the Dodd-Frank regulations that will be coming out do require that, we can always add it back in to comply with the federal law. Conflict of interest, that's on page 3, subsection 9. I felt very strongly that the Dodd-Frank regulations would probably cover conflict of interest in some way. So we were very willing to pull that out. Subsection 11, we had just the word roster there, and we were asked to put in the language, which is roster of approved appraisal management companies. That would be a roster that we keep on our website. And so we were perfectly fine with that revision. Subsection 14, inactive status. I was very willing to pull that out. If I don't know that an appraisal management company would go inactive, but from experience with the appraiser side, that is not a very important issue. If they want to reapply at a later time, that would be fine. So no problem with that. Moving on to Section 5, we had in our original bill the application and renewal fee set at $1,000. During my negotiations with RELS and the industry, they provided to me model legislation that they had developed. So I reviewed the model legislation, and I found that in their model they had $1,500 for the ceiling on application and renewal fees. So I raised ours to be consistent with their model legislation, and they were very agreeable to that. Moving down to Section 9, the same scenario happened there. We had set $2,000 as our ceiling on penalty fee for violations of the statutes or rules. In their model legislation, they had $5,000, so we raised ours to $5,000 to be consistent with the model legislation. Moving to page 5, under Section 10, I believe it is, under subsection 8 on page 5, we added D. That was at the request of the appraisal management company representatives to add substandard performance. We were very agreeable to that. That was a good revision. And then under right below section subsection 9 on page 5, you will find subsections 10 and 11. Those were also in the appraisal management company's model legislation. The first one is to an appraisal management company may not prohibit an appraiser from reporting the fee paid to the appraiser in the body of the appraisal report. However, the AMC may require an appraiser to print it, to present it in such disclosure in a specified format and location. That was in the model legislation provided to us. We felt that that even enhanced our legislation tremendously, as did subsection 11, which prohibits the appraisal management company from using an appraisal report submitted by an independent appraiser or any of its data or information contained therein for any purpose other than its intended use without the appraiser or the end user's consent. This also enhanced our legislation considerably, we felt. There were a couple of revisions that the industry had asked for. One of them, we could not accord to that because of the legality. The Attorney General said that the language they were proposing was not legal, and really what our statute said under, it was Section 4, that it really said the same thing, but that it was just not in a legal format for the Attorney General's opinion. And the other revision that the industry had requested was simply a form change to have some paragraphs and subsections identified, and that did not fit South Dakota's form, and therefore that request was not granted. But the language is the same. It's just the format was not changed in accordance with their request. I believe that that's the end of my testimony on that legislation, Honorable.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1033? Any other proponents?
Mr. Chairman.
Good morning again.
Good morning. Craig Steinle again on behalf of the Professional Appraisers Association of South Dakota. I want to step back away from the legislation for just a minute and give you some background from the appraiser's side of these requirements. I think it's important that you remember that, once again, legislation is in front of you because the Dodd-Frank Act requires that states eventually register and supervise AMCs that operate in their jurisdiction. This happened back in the late 1980s in the savings and loan crisis when the federal government mandated that the states supervise and register appraisers and that produce the program that Sherry Brenn is now the executive director of. It happened just a couple of years ago with mortgage brokers when the federal government said to the states, you will supervise and register mortgage brokers. And this federal model now applies to AMCs. The appraisal management company Dilemma began in earnest, although many AMCs of noteworthy size have existed for a long time, such as the AMC that will probably testify here this morning. But when Attorney General Cuomo in New York and Fannie Mae agreed to what became known as the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, the HVCC, it required a separation between appraisers and the people that ordered the appraisers. There was a feeling that we ended up in this crisis partially because loan officers or mortgage brokers who were responsible for making a loan were able to pressure appraisers, threaten to take them off their lists if they didn't meet a value, have the kind of influence that led to a less than an independent evaluation. That was the allegation that was made. And the HVCC required that lenders either separate the loan production side from the appraisal ordering side or hire independent third parties, which became known as appraisal management companies. So that's where we are today. Appraisal management companies have managed to get between some lenders and appraisers. Now, many of the larger lenders decided after sort of getting over the initial scare of the HVCC to bring back the appraisal ordering function in-house. They have someone in their compliance department pick the appraisers on a rotating basis, and the loan production side, the loan officer that's paid on whether or not the loan is made, doesn't have any say over who the appraiser is. It's a nice separation that got rid of a lot of the problems. Mortgage brokers still must use an AMC. They have no ability under current law to directly contract for the services of an appraiser in a federally related transaction. So appraisal management companies have waned somewhat in their numbers, but they're still quite prevalent. As Sherry said, in a state like Vermont, where there were 300 appraisers, when they passed legislation such as this, they found there were 60 AMCs that were operating in the state, and I dare say most of those were out-of-state companies. My personal experience with AMCs is that most of them are out-of-state companies that call and want to request the services of an appraiser on behalf of a lender, either an internet lender or a lender in another location outside of the state. This is a excellent example of a department working with all of the stakeholders. The appraisers themselves were involved at the advisory council level, as were the lending industry, and as Sherry has testified in the end here, the amendment was brought forth by the regulated industry, the AMCs coming forward and making some changes that were very acceptable to all parties involved. In a real estate transaction, when a property is bought and sold or when you refinance your house, currently everyone in the process is regulated. The realtor, the real estate broker is regulated, the appraiser is regulated, the lender is regulated, the surveyor, the home inspector, everyone is regulated with the exception of the appraisal management company. Now, I do have to say that the larger AMCs that are owned by federally regulated financial institutions, such as the one that Wells Fargo owns, have always been regulated. Those AMCs really have always been regulated by the FDIC or whichever federal regulatory agency supervises their activities. It's the independent ones that are truly unregulated. There are no qualifications to become an appraisal management company. Shortly after the HVCC came out, there were a number of exposés about people who crossed over from the mortgage lending side where they had gotten into trouble opened up AMCs because it was unregulated, and those were the folks that had gotten between the appraisers and their clients. I don't say that happened in all cases, but there were certainly a number of documented examples because there's no qualifications, there's no supervision. Right now, we can't tell you how many AMCs operate in South Dakota, nor do we have any ability to regulate them. The last thing I'll say about the bill is that the various sections get long, and as Sherry goes through them, I sense an uneasiness about all the things that they're doing, but they copy every other regulated industry. If you look at what appraisers live with in terms of the actions that they can and cannot do, and the penalties and fees and hearings and so forth that they're responsible for, it looks exactly like this legislation. The same is true for real estate brokers and surveyors and title companies. So in bringing this forward, it's a lot at once. It's mandated by federal law, and it's been worked through with all the stakeholders. I think it's an example of good legislation, the way that it's supposed to be done. With that, I ask a due pass, and we'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1033?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Tim O'Brien, O'Brien. I come to speak on behalf of the potentially regulated industries today. I've been referenced in multiple testimonies today, and I appreciate the committee's patience on a very complex issue here this morning. Many of you probably are being exposed to the first time to appraisal management companies here today, even though some of us have been operating in South Dakota for 25 years. As was discussed by Ms. Brenn, I work for Rels Valuation. We are a joint venture of Wells Fargo and have handled the appraisal needs of Wells Fargo for over 25 years. I am a certified residential appraiser, and I live in Minneapolis. I'm licensed in 7 western states to practice appraisal. In terms of legislative background, I have either authored or contributed on 19 of the 21 appraisal management company state-level bills that have been passed so far. I have 12 bills in process this year. I spent Monday in lovely Helena supporting the bill that our friends in Montana are working on. I have a call this afternoon with our friends in Omaha as they work to pass the Nebraska Appraisal Management Act. I participated last year in the Minnesota Appraisal Act that was passed. And I believe we have a good, consistent model that is being passed and proposed throughout the country. I want to thank Ms. Brenn in particular for her work on this bill and all of the members of the Advisory Council and those who have testified today. It has been a good negotiating session where all industry participants were able to speak, have concerns brought up. I did object to some language in the bill originally, not the concept of a bill, but just looking for consistency of the language from state to state. I believe the bill as amended is a good bill. It is consistent with what we see in other states. It protects the consumers of South Dakota. It protects the appraisers of South Dakota. And it protects the appraisal management companies, both based and operating in South Dakota. There are a lot that we've gone through here this morning, and I'm sure there will be questions, so I'm going to defer any questions that may have, obviously, to that section and not do a 20-minute overview on the history. Our company has been here and does business the right way, I feel. We've heard this from every state we go through that, you know, we like doing business with your company, but there are other companies who have started up. I speak today not just behalf of my company, but our trade organizations that I participate that handle 80% of the space or more. The industry heads and leaders of the appraisal management company field are behind this legislation. We think it is good to have a regulated industry to make sure that the players in the industry are under the same set of guidelines and rules as others in the transaction are, and believe that this legislation is good for all. There are a couple of comments I'll briefly have on the amendments. Many, again, were for structure or based on our model bill that we think makes sense and add to the legislation. Ms. Brenn did reference exemptions in the bill. To my knowledge, there are only 2 out of 400 companies in the country who could claim said exemption. And it is to be recognized that in many states, the companies who could claim the exemption have not. They have even registered in those states. I cannot give you a firm policy of what my company will do as of yet because it is pending legislation, but I will look at the history of what we have done, and we have even registered in states where we are exempt. We believe the bill makes sense, and it cannot hurt our industry. So that being said, I ask the committee to support House Bill 1033. Obviously, I'll be available for any questions the committee may have, but I thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Dunlap. I'm a certified general appraiser in South Dakota. I'm also accredited with the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers. And I come on behalf of the South Dakota chapter of ASFMRA. I'm also a member of PASAD, and I'm also a member of the advisory council for the appraiser certification program, and was one of the members of the committee that did some of the research and some of the initial work on this bill. I won't belabor everything that has been said because of time, but at the time that we started this, it was not mandatory. We thought it was good common sense legislation. It still is good common sense legislation, only now it's mandatory. Not having it, in our estimation, would be a little bit like buying an insurance policy and then finding out there's a loophole at the wrong time. We're trying to protect consumers, and that is, in a very regulated industry, what is being done. Only this area is not a part of the regulation currently. We need to get that done. I will also be available for questions if there are any. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Any other proponents to House Bill 1033? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1033? Any opponents? Seeing none, at this time I'll open it up for committee questions. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I might have several as we go along here. I don't know who, probably somebody who testified as a proponent after Ms. Brenn's discussion. What is the rationale for taking out that the department shall promulgate rules relative to responsibilities, duties, and standards of practice? I don't understand why we wouldn't want the department to address that matter. I know Ms. Brenn said that it might be covered later by Dodd-Frank, but I don't know why we're hanging our hat on a might be covered later. Could somebody address that first, please?
Mr. Chairman, with your permission.
Please.
Representative, I'll be happy to try to address the issue. Standards of practice is an issue that has been addressed in the Section 10, which cover many of the standards of practices for appraisal management companies and the prohibitions. The concern with setting standards of practices for an AMC is the Dodd-Frank bill requests registration programs, and there will be regulations promulgated by the end of this summer that will be the specifics. We were concerned as an industry that there may be a lack of understanding of either our business model or how the model operates. So by setting specific standards of practice, there could be undue or unforeseen downstream consequences to consumers, appraisers, AMCs, and we did not want to disrupt the overall flow of business. We felt that the bill was comprehensive in the fact that it covered what an AMC could do, what an AMC could not do, and that the appraisers, I believe, as well as the AMCs, were comfortable with the consistency that we've seen from state to state.
Follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the answer. Moving on to page 5. Subsection 8, it suggests that they may remove an appraiser from a real estate appraiser panel without prior written notice to the appraiser, without prior written notice including evidence of the following, with prior written notice including evidence of the following. What is substandard performance? The others seem to me quantifiable.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission again, and obviously I don't want to answer all the questions if others want to participate, but I'm happy to try to address this as well. This was my language. Representative, substandard performance would be many different things. Say an appraiser said he would show up at your home on Monday morning at 8 a.m. You changed your schedule here in Pierre or maybe other places, and the appraiser showed up at 4 p.m. Say the appraiser showed up wearing shorts and brought his two dogs into your house. Say the appraiser was found to be completing an appraisal that did not meet federal, state, or other guidelines, or had customer service issues that we decided that we no longer wanted to continue our business relationship with that appraiser. It would be a documented item in the performance contract between the appraiser and the appraisal management company where they did not fulfill the minimum requirements of our said contract.
Representative Greenfield.
And one more, I believe, from probably Ms. Bren. On page 5, line 14, it says, a violation of this section may constitute grounds for discipline against an appraisal management company, etc. What would the ground, or what would that entail? What penalties would they be subject to?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Bren.
Where are you at, Representative? I got lost.
I'm at the bottom of page 5, lines 24 and 25.
Oh, okay. Yes, thank you.
And Ms. Brent, I'm looking at the copy that you provided with the amendment. So when I refer to 24 and 25, that may not match up with the printed bill.
You're talking about the one with the amendment. So I believe that I'm with you there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. In our rules, rule promulgation authority, we do have the authority to establish rules regarding complaints and grounds for disciplinary action. And so this line 24 and 25 would just say that if an appraisal management company violated any of those sections before that, that that would be grounds for disciplinary action, and then under Chapter 1-26, the department would be able to take action against the appraisal management company for violation of these subsections.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Greenfield?
And what would that include?
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Our disciplinary action, that will be in rule, administrative rule, but I foresee that to be a penalty fee. It could be suspension, revocation, some type of formal reprimand against an appraisal management company. I believe that that would be the line of discipline that we would have in our administrative rules.
Any other questions? Representative Willetson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Brand, I guess my question would involve, if the bill and the amendment were not to pass, then what happens then? What's your plan B?
Our plan B, Mr. Chair.
Please.
Our plan B would probably be that we would have to come back next year and try to get a similar piece of legislation passed. The Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act will allow some time for the states to enact legislation and begin registering and supervising appraisal management companies. We would like to begin now, just based on the fact that this is a number of our states across the nation have enacted legislation, and it is going to be mandatory, and we would like to know who the appraisal management companies are that are operating in our state. And currently, we have no jurisdiction, and we have no idea who they are. So we would like to move forward with it this year. Thank you.
Follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No. Mr. Chair. Representative Condit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Couple of questions. Is it a correct statement that if you are a financial institution, as, for example, Wells has been referred to, you're exempt from this law, from this piece of legislation, correct, if you're regulated federally?
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Yes. According to the Dodd-Frank, and if you would look at Section 1 on page 1 of the overlay, This is the exact language taken from Dodd-Frank, which is an exemption for any appraisal management company that is owned or controlled by a financial institution that is regulated by a federal financial institution regulatory agency, such as the OCC, Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, FDIC, the Fed, those entities.
Thank you. Follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. My next question has to do with the increase in fees from $1,000 to $1,500. Can you explain that, why, between the drafting of your legislation and the amendment, why that's increased by $500?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
Representative Consett, thank you for that question. We did have our fees set at $1,000. It's very hard to project what the administration and operation costs will be for upstart of this program. We just chose 1,000 as a number. When we looked at the model legislation that was provided to me by RELS, they had established $1,500 as the registration application fee and then our renewal fee. I feel like that perhaps RELS and the appraisal management companies that are regulated, perhaps they have a better idea of what the fees should be than we do. And also, this is only a ceiling. I don't know that, you know, in administrative rule we'll actually establish a $1,500, you know, application and renewal fee. But it will give us the authority if once we get up and running, if we see that the fees we are charging, whatever that is established at, does not cover the administration and operation of the program, we'll at least have some flexibility to increase those fees to cover our costs.
Anything else? Any other questions? Any other questions of the committee? Seeing none, I'll close the public testimony portion of this hearing and open it up for committee comment or action. Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm nervous about this particular bill. I think that appraisal management companies should be regulated in our state. But with this particular bill, I just get the impression that it's a little haphazard. It's a little put together, not only at the 11th hour, but maybe 11 hours and 45 minutes. I, too, had reservations, as was voiced earlier. You know, the definition of substandard, to me, you know, there needs to be definitions in this bill, particularly there and also, you know, with other terms, you know, that they have in the bill. You know, the $1,500 fee, I also had questions about that. I mean, it's from the testimony, it was like, well, we put $1,000 in. But then, you know, my model bill over here had $1,500, and so, oh, that sounds good. I've just got some real reservations about the bill as it's set up. I think it needs a lot more work. I'm not in favor of passing a bill that needs more work so that we can just come back later and fix it, kind of thing. You know, to me, it makes much more sense to do it right the first time. I do think this is a good concept, but I think it needs a lot more work, and I think that if we don't pass this bill and we let them work on it over the summer and through the fall and such, that they can come back with a better bill that's a little better thought out and such. So I'd encourage them, you to act and vote no on this bill. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Any other comments? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we defer House Bill 1033 to the 41st Legislative Day.
Second.
The motion is to defer action on House Bill 1033 to the 41st Legislative Day by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Dielstra. Comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's not for lack of recognition that perhaps we'll have to put something in place in the near future, but it is, I share in Representative Willardson's concerns. This bill has been drafted, or it seems that we're trying to work, kind of on the fly and so on and so forth. Maybe it was put together in a little bit of haste, so I'm going to ask that we err on the side of caution and hold off on this, at least at this time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Seeing no further discussion, the motion is to move House Bill 1033 to the 41st Legislative Day. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra?
Aye.
Fargin?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Holly?
Nay.
Hubble?
Aye.
Jensen? Jones?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Nay.
Miller?
Nay.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Willardson?
Aye.
Consett?
Nay.
And Solem?
Nay.
Seven yeas, five nays.
House Bill 1033, the move to the 41st Legislative Day, it passes with seven yeas, five nays. Okay, thank you, appraisers, for being a part of this action, and I appreciate all the public testimony on this bill. This is part of the legislative process and also part of the educational process. I appreciate your support. With that, we will continue on to the last bill on our legislative calendar. I will now open the hearing on House Bill 1036, an act to revise the time when financial reports of the Guarantee Association are submitted to the Director of Insurance. With that, I will open it up for proponent testimony.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Mark Willardson, representative from District 11 in Sioux Falls. We bring this bill today and put it up, Mr. Chair, as the definition of a truly simple bill. It's one page, one word, and I would appreciate your positive action for that. With this particular bill, what we're really trying to do is to make our government more friendly to the taxpayers of South Dakota. And with that, I would conclude my testimony and turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponent testimony to House Bill 1036?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Craig Mattson. I'm a registered lobbyist for State Farm Insurance Companies. Excuse me.
Chapter 5829A is a controlling statute for the Property and Casualty Guarantee Fund. I don't expect any of you to know what the Property and Casualty Guarantee Fund is. I imagine you have exciting lives and don't spend time in that chapter of the code. But it is an important consumer protection. And what it does, basically, from a very high level, is if an insurer goes insolvent in this state, other insurers step in and pay for the remaining claims that they have. And that is done through assessments, and there's a board that is established to assess the companies basically on their market share. And so if you're a consumer and you have an insurance company and it goes broke, your claims will still be paid through the insurance guarantee fund. So it does have an important part of protecting the consumer in South Dakota. I think that, as far as I know, the insurance industry is the only industry where if my competitor goes broke, I bail them out. But I'm proud of what happens here. And the regulatory authority that the board of the PNC Guarantee Fund reports to is the Division of Insurance. The board is 7 members. I'm actually the president of the board. There's a managing secretary that handles much of the day-to-day operations. But the board meets once a year. And right now, the statute, if you look at the way that the code is written without the change, a report is due to the director of the Division of Insurance by the 30th of March every year. It presents 2 problems. One is the total voluntary board that we have. They're unpaid board members, but they travel from different places, and March weather is not always reliable. And so sometimes we set a date, and then there's a snowstorm, and we can't meet. The second problem is, since we are spending other companies' money that we get through assessments, we have a fiduciary responsibility to them, and so therefore every year we have an audit. The problem is the auditors are the busiest from January through April, and sometimes our report is delayed. The code 5829A100 requires us to report to the director, but because of the weather problems that we have and the audit problems that we have, we're oftentimes hugging right up against that date. So it's a simple change. I hate to say simple because I know everybody's radar goes up, but this really is. We just want to be able to report to the director on May 30th versus March 30th, and it's just a little cleanup. I believe that there will be people from the Division of Insurance here to also comment, and I will stand down for any questions, but I do thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1036? Good morning, Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. We do support this piece of legislation. We do think that those are valid reasons to delay the report till a little bit later in the year. It does not present any problems for the division to have that report a little bit later, so we're very supportive of this and encouraged to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other proponents? Any other proponents to House Bill 1036? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1036? Any opponents? Seeing none, at this time I'll open it up for committee questions. Representative Miller.
We haven't gotten to
the action portion.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you. I'll now open it up for committee comments or action. Representative Miller.
I move do pass.
The motion to do pass on House Bill 1036 by Representative Miller, seconded by Representative Greenfield. Comments? Any? Okay, thank you. No comments. Seeing no Other discussion, the question at hand is do pass on House Bill 1036. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra?
Aye.
Pargin?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hawley?
Aye.
Hubble?
Aye.
Jensen? Jones?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Willitson?
Aye.
Tonset?
Aye.
And Solon?
Aye.
12-0.
House Bill 1036, having received a majority of the votes from the members present, passes. The motion to move this House Bill 1036 to the consent calendar was made by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Pargin. Comment?
Unless the representative who has this bill would like to pull it off. I don't know if he's really excited to talk on the floor.
I appreciate the consent motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We'll move House Bill 1036 to the consent calendar. That concludes the business for today. Any comments by the committee?
Motion to adjourn.
Entertain that motion to adjourn by Representative Dielstra, seconded by Representative Pargin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.